Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to another edition of Grapsody Interviews. And this time, we've been talking about this one for a long time. By the way, I'm Will Washington. You know Philip Lindsay over there. You know Righteous Reg down there. You know us.
We in the building.
But we're the least important part of this thing here, because we've talked about this one a long time. We've been ready to talk to this individual right here. She is the one and only AEW's own Red Velvet. Red Velvet, thank you for joining us here on Grapsody.
Mix it up.
Gotta stir it up. Yep.
You know what time it is.
Yes, thank you for being here, Red Velvet.
Thank you for having me.
And it's an exciting time to have you here, especially now. Like, it feels like almost in waves, there's always an exciting time with you in AEW, from you coming in to Shaq and all of that, and we'll talk about all of that shortly, but right now the time that's exciting is that you are officially, and I should have included this in the intro, a baddie.
Ooh. I am a baddies. Yes, I am a certified baddie, hanging with
yes
the
hanging with the baddies. Let's talk about it like right off the bat. So of course, you've pretty much been tied to Jade Cargill your the entire time in AEW. Your birthday twin, by the way, and belated happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I mean that, by the way. It's same day, same year, same everything, right?
Same everything. We are legit twins. I think the only thing difference might be like the times that we were born, but we were born the exact same day, same year, everything.
Yeah, and you've been tied to Jade pretty much your entire time as an official All Elite wrestler.
Yes, I've been tied to Jade her entire AEW career, actually. From the moment she started, I've been with her every step of the way. We are just glued together, I think. We're bonded.
Yeah, but originally that was as rivals. But now you two are part of a trio with Kiera Hogan as well. You are the baddies. How did that come about?
Honestly, I think everything was kind of fate. It wasn't something I suggested. Ideally, I was still I was a baby face when I was going against Jade a lot, so I never really thought that there would be a moment in our careers where we'd be linked together. I want to say it kind of took a turn once I got booed when I was going against Willow, and I think that was the perfect time to pull the trigger, because it wasn't the first time I had gotten booed. It was almost, I think, if I can count correctly, it was the third time I had already been booed. So
I'll apologize on behalf of Chicago, because I know that happened during the Blue Sky match. Blue match, didn't it?
Yeah.
Chicago. Blue.
Chicago. And then before that,
Chicago. You know, I'm a Chicago fan. Like, I used to go to dance in Chicago all the time when I was professional dancer, and I wanted to move to Chicago. I was kind of hurt, you know, when I got booed by them, but you know, Sky Blue was their girl. Wasn't and me. Like, the fans are honest, so you can't be upset with that. But yeah, it started off in Pittsburgh against Britt, you know,
Britt Baker,
I was
yeah
in Pittsburgh. It was bound to happen, and then it went on to Chicago with Sky Blue the weekend of All Out, and then the final strike for me was kind of like when I got booed against Willow. So we pulled the trigger there, and Tony agreed that he thought it was time to go heel. After that, I didn't really have a sense of direction once that happened where I was going to go. I just got sat in the baddie section one day. So I can't give you the exact answer on whose idea it was, because it maybe could have been Jade or TK, but I don't want to give any false information. I just got put in the baddie section one day, and then I sat there.
That was in New Orleans, right?
I believe so. I believe New Orleans was the first time that I got sat in the baddie section, and then it just kind of took off from there. So, but it's been great. I love being a baddie, so it's good to be bad.
I mean, honestly, you can go ahead.
No, Reg. Go ahead.
Okay, what I was going to say is, so there's you know, every wrestler I've ever talked to has said that, you know, being a babyface is one thing, but there's so much more fun you can have with being a heel and getting to play around with that. And talking about those times in, like Pittsburgh, for example. Pittsburgh, you got booed, but you were kind of positioned against the fans because, like, we knew that you weren't the fan favorite there. We knew it was Pittsburgh. We knew it was Britt Baker's hometown, all of that. Did you, at least at that moment, feel like you were starting to get a taste of how much fun you could have with that?
Totally. I think I knew going into it right away that some people were going to cheer, but majority of people were going to boo me. So I just took on, like, I was like, all right, let's see where it goes. I didn't expect the boos to be as loud as they were, maybe, but that was just a fuel my fire. And I was just like, you know what? I kind of like this. Like, everyone loves to be like the popular kid in school, but everyone thrives better when they were kind of like the nerdy kid that then went popular. So I was just like, all right, these people don't want to get behind me. I'm going to make them hate me even more because I'm going to take from them what they love. And that's the D&D. So I thought that was the first taste where I was like, all right, cool. Like, I'm not totally bothered by it. And I had definitely a lot more fun when it happened in Chicago, because Chicago, it was more unexpected. I didn't really think of it. I didn't think they were going to get behind Sky as much as they did. They're great, loyal fans to her. So once they got behind her, I was like, all right, I see how it is. But Boston, man, was like, I pulled the trigger. I said, all right, you guys are going to boo me. You don't want me to win this part of the tournament? I don't care. Like, let's go now. So I think everything in my career-wise, as far as, like, even going babyface to heel, was all just timing. It was never planned. It wasn't like, all right, at this day, we're going to set you heel. It just kind of happened organically, and I think that has been the best part for me, is that it's all happened organically. So it keeps me on my toes, and I think that's made me grow as a wrestler, because I kind of thought coming into AEW, I was going to be a babyface always. Yeah. I don't think TK had any plans of turning me heel. I don't even think he thought there was a mean bone in my body for me to be a heel anyways. But I was like, okay, I'll keep that one in my back pocket. When it's time to come out, you'll see. And it's happened so far. So, and it's only the beginning, too. I don't think I've let people see, like, how dark I can really get. So I'm excited about that.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that you kind of connected to Jade Cargill so much. Thing a lot of people talk about is we've seen her. She just tweeted about it the other day that, like, we've seen every single one of her matches that she's had, like, on TV. You're not very far ahead of, like, her as far as having, you know, a lot of matches. So, like, a lot of what we've seen from you on TV is, like, your first experiences in these things, your first time doing this thing. We're seeing you grow as a performer right here in front of our eyes. And first, I want to give you props, because that Chris Statlander match that you just
that
had
match
was awesome. It was so...
I was in the building for that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Great match. You just, like, I think the progression that you've had in front of our eyes has been amazing. And it's been even better, I think, since you've turned heel. I first want to know who, when you started out with AEW, who were some of the people that helped you develop into the wrestler that you are, and who are you working with now to sharpen your skills? Because, like, now it seems like, you know, you've entered into another stratosphere as far as this talent goes.
Well, I think going into starting at AEW, I was immediately taken under, obviously, Dustin is the head trainer. So Dustin saw something special in me. He took me under his wing. At the time as well, you know, we had Cody and Brandy. Cody and Brandy definitely took me under their wing. I think it all kind of went uphill from there. And it was just, like I said, it was nothing that was planned. It was just perfect timing. You know,
right.
Brandy had another adventure in her life. She got pregnant. And I was grateful enough that Cody saw something in me to put me in that position. Because at the time, and many people didn't know, I was not signed with AEW on a, like, straight All Elite contract when I wrestled Jade against Shaq. So just even being put in that position, for him to have thought that I could hold that position and hold with that such a big caliber match was pretty nice. There was so many people that have had a hand in AEW helping me out. Vicky has been really great. She's been, like, the best figure for the women's locker room since I've been there. I'm trying to think. I don't want to ever leave anyone out, because there's just been so many people of the faculty and the office who have just helped me grow and, like, aren't afraid to tell me, like, this didn't look that good. We need to change this. So I have to thank all the agents that I've ever worked with from then till now. The list goes on. But currently, right now, I'm working a lot behind the scenes with BJ Whitmer. He's with us. He's one of the agents. I work a lot hand-in-hand with him. And I'm training with Jade as well with Brian Danielson. So that has been a gear change. And
I can see it. We can see it.
Totally. I mean, just like having he's somebody I really look up to, somebody I watched, you know, I wouldn't say growing up because it was later in the time. I was already a little older when Brian got to WWE and stuff. But I've been watching a lot of his stuff, and just the fact that he gets to get in the ring with Jade and I, and just like the little things from the basics, it's been great. And he's really helped me like tap into how aggressive I can get and be as a heel. So I kind of have to thank him mainly because I've been training a lot more with him. There's still a lot of people. We still train with Dustin and stuff like that, but more focused on like my heel character and change has definitely been Brian and BJ behind the scenes. And of course, I always go back to my trainers back at home, La Rosa, who's actively still wrestling, and JB from Fighting Evolution Wrestling. I always bring it back to them because nobody knows me better than them, because they're the ones that trained me and got me from like the beginning. But I think a lot of people in AEW, everyone's so helpful. And just even like with my heel turn, I think a lot of people are seeing a different side of me and gained a different respect for me and the work that I've been putting in. So I've been getting a lot more help from other talents and even talents in the male locker room that I thought probably never even cared about me as a wrestler, but people are watching and they're taking notice, and it feels good because I think it's showing in my matches and my promos. And I think the heel turn, believe it or not, was like Boston booing me was the best thing that could happen, because I always feel like I'm a Gemini and I get bored very easily, and I always like to be on my toes, and I always like things to challenge me, and turning heel was a challenge. People might not see it now, but it was a challenge for me in the beginning, because I was just like, oh my God, like I have to go outside of my comfort zone. I'm not the baby face, you know, getting the comeback, and I'm out here hurting people. All right, you know, let's tap into that. Like, I've used a lot of my boxing background just to get more aggressive. And I still have a couple of things up my sleeve, but, you know, I can't give you guys that. You have to just watch. But it's a journey, and I'm excited. I hope I get to be a heel for a while. But you never know. Things always – with my whole career in AEW, everything's just been, like, a wave. Like you said, it just all happens unexpectedly. And I think I like it better that way. Mm-hmm. It really tests – how versatile I can be and how quickly I can adapt to situations. So definitely helped out.
Well, yeah, because when you really think about when you came in during a time that I think, and you know, for all the interviews we've done here, we get to mention this a lot, but talking about the fact that for the rest of the world, it was a scary time. But for a lot of wrestlers, those early months of the pandemic became an opportunity for so many people. And you're one of those people who came in and during those dark tapings and things like that at Daily's Place really got to show yourself to the audience, to get established with the audience. And really, you know, the most of the establishment that happened with Red Velvet in front of our eyes happened at Daily's Place with no fans. And so I want to know a lot about what that transition was like for you to go from working in front of really just your peers at ringside to all of a sudden now I'm going on the road, and this is something that I wasn't doing before. Like, a lot of those guys were resuming their lives on the road. You were just beginning your life on the road when Road Rager happened last year.
Yes.
What was that transition like for you?
Transition was pretty good. I don't think I'm not someone who's primarily afraid of crowds, you know. I welcome them. I think being in Daily's Place with no crowd at the time was the perfect time for me to be there to learn how and what it really means to work for television. Because anyone who comes from the indies, they learn how to work, but learning how to work for television and for a wider audience, and just not the audience that's in the crowd, but the audience at home, I think being there during the dark tapings without fans was a good icebreaker. You know, it helps you get comfortable, helps you learn things, and then there's still time to fix certain things that you can't really do live. But it's a perfect prep for live television on the road as well. So to me, the pandemic was a terrible time just for everyone health-wise, but for wrestlers and myself included, it was possibly the best thing that happened to me, because now when we're on the road, I think it's harder for people who aren't signed to get looked at deeply by the people in the office, because it's every other city, and how much are you going to go to the next town and the next town before they really get a good eye on you? We were stationed one place, so I was able to get myself there every time they needed me for what, like, the pandemic went on for almost like a year that we were in Daly's place, maybe a little bit more. So I think it was a great transition and just what I needed to prepare myself to be on live television and on the road. The road is completely different, obviously, because everyone is there. There's no like, all right, we need to stop and this and that. Like, there is no, the lights are on, you got to go live, anything can happen. Television time is very specific timing. So it was definitely, I think, a good warm up to get on the road. And I'm grateful that I was able to come into AEW during the time of the pandemic, because I'm not sure if I'd be in AEW if I wasn't there during the pandemic, because I just think it's harder for upcoming talent to get looked at frequently on the road, unless you're like pitching in to buy yourself a flight to get there to every city. We're in a different city every week, so it becomes a little harder, especially for a talent that isn't really known yet. I think I was able to get my name during the pandemic time because I was always on Dark, and that's where people kind of really learned who Red Velvet was. I was wrestling outside before, but just being on TV and YouTube reached a whole bigger audience, so definitely worked in my favor.
Yeah, that was definitely when I came across you. I don't know if you remember, Reg, but when we did the year-end awards that year and Red was voted Breakout Star of the Year, remember what year right. that was?
That was last year, I think. I think that was 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year. Not the year that just happened with the one before.
So that was in the end of 2020 you guys did that?
Yeah, I think it was the end of 2020. Best Breakout Star was Red Velvet. It was like right after the Shaq match and all that stuff, and you just were, people were like, yo, Red Velvet got it, and you know, you got it, as we can see.
Yeah, definitely that match. I'm forever grateful for just the opportunity. They say that when something's for you, it's for you. And I think what an opportunity look that wasn't for me ended up being for me. And like, yeah, I didn't win that match, but that match, I think, definitely put everyone on game on who I was. And that was a match where I knew I needed to show not only Tony, but everyone in the back that I wasn't just a replacement, that I was meant to be there, and that I was going to be a solid part of the women's division, because that was like my primarily goal when I first got there. I didn't want to be there as an extra. I knew that once I got there and I stepped foot in the ring, I was like, this is where I want to be. And I put my head in to do whatever I had to do to get that spot. And it just kind of came. So hard work always does pay off. I definitely believe that.
Yeah. For me, I think that the match with La Rosa, I know you mentioned her earlier, for Mission Pro Championship was, like, that was a standout match. Like, anybody watching this interview, if you've not seen that, it's on YouTube. You can go watch it. It's great.
Which one?
The match with La Rosa for the Mission Pro Championship.
Definitely. Excellent match. She's my trainer. She knows me better than anybody else. And she always knows how to just take me to the next level. She's given me a lot of things that she was like, I think this is you. And a lot of it has stuck. So I was very grateful that I got to wrestle her at that time in my career. Had I wrestled her a year ago, 3 years ago, I wouldn't be the same wrestler that I am now. So yeah, you guys definitely should go watch that match. Good match.
Yeah.
Fun match too.
And then the other time, like, I was at Empower, and just watching how well-received you were by that crowd, and just, like, how well you worked with Kylan as a tag team. What was that experience like, just working Empower and doing an all-women show?
That was an honor. When I got actually approached by AEW that we were hand-chosen to be one of the tag teams that was going to go, I was super ecstatic about it, because there's a ton of girls in the locker room, and once again, getting picked for these type of spots, and especially being picked as a tag team to represent AEW, I took that as a task in itself, and I was like, I'm gonna go out there and make myself look good, make my partner look good, make all these women look good, and make the company I work for proud. And I did just that, and we did just that. I think I love Kylan with my whole heart. Sad that we're not in the same spot right now, but she's out there killing it. She's probably one of the most favorite people I would love to tag with. I always say, in my biggest career life moments, she has always just been there. If it's been like in the back to help me, or in a match, or at the show that day. She's like my little guardian angel. She's just always there when I have a big opportunity. And having the opportunity to work with her as a tag team for the first ever women's pay-per-view was something I hold near and dear to my heart, and I appreciate her, and it was great working with her. I think she's one of the only people too who knows me very well, and we just mesh well. We mesh well when we're as a partners, and we've even meshed well when we're against each other in the ring. So definitely somebody that everyone needs to keep their eye on. She's amazing, and the world needs to know that, and they do, but it needs to be more out there, of course.
Yeah, shout out Kylan King. And, you know, I wanted to, and you know what's funny was I put a question out when we first announced that you were going to be on the show. We put it out to the Grapsody faithful, and we got a couple of questions about that. Jennifer had asked, do you have a preference in tag partner dynamics? For example, you and Kylan are awesome with contrasting styles that mesh well, or do you prefer working at a double speed team, somebody who's more exactly along your lines?
I am actually the opposite. I love working with people who my weaknesses are their strengths. So I think that's why, and even talking now, like whenever I would tag with Statlander, we have the issues that we have right now, but I'm not going to take credit from anyone to say she's amazing. So I'm not going to discredit her there. And I won't discredit Kylan either. But I think both Statlander and Kylan have been great partners of mine, because where I lack, they make up. So I think I make up in speed. I'm a lot faster than a lot of people, but they're strong and they do the lifting and all that. And that's, you know, I can't deny that. That's not my forte. I'm one of the smallest girls on the roster, but like I'm one of the fastest. So I think strength and speed together is more powerful than having two fast people or just two strong people, because I think we make up for each other where the other lacks. So I'm going to definitely go with like my partner being kind of the opposite of me, not exactly the same, because we can achieve a lot more having a little bit everywhere, I guess.
Hey, you and Kiara is awesome, though. Let's definitely not deny the talents and strength and how great you and Kiara are as a tag Kiara. Team.
We haven't got to tag as much recently, but we've actually gone against each other more than we've tagged. So getting to learn what her strengths are, that's exciting too, and I'm excited to tag with her as well, because I'm actually learning from her, because I'm tagging with someone who's almost just like me. We're the same stature. We're fast. We're quick. We're fiery. So I'm excited about that as well. So I think all good can come as well, that we're similar, because we're almost like twins. I say that Jade and I are twins, but I can guarantee you that Kiara and I were separated at birth. Like, we are almost identical.
Well, and that was what I wanted to ask about, because you pairing with Kiara and Jade on screen, that just as a viewer, that feels like a match made in heaven. I am such a big fan of the baddies. I think adding Stokely to the mix just made this some of my favorite television going on right now. But if you've been following you at all on any of your social media, on TikTok especially, you and Kiara, like, it almost seemed like this was destined to be on screen, because you two have so much fun, and I can see that, you know, even though you guys are the baddies, you're very serious, you can see how much fun you guys are having. So I wanted to ask you about the pairing with you and Kiara, and how that transition from everybody seeing you guys so close on, you know, you guys do your TikTok dances, they're always fun, they're always great, and how has that helped transition on to television?
I think it was just kind of organic. I met Kiara a while back before she was signed to AEW, and we just kind of clicked. So I think we always talked about like, oh, we would love to work each other. And then we finally got that chance. And then we said, man, I think like we would just mesh very well as partners. So when we both got to be together in the baddies, we just started having fun with it. I think it's just organic. Outside of AEW, she's one of my best friends. She's grown to become one of my best friends. Even, I'm not even saying best friend, she's like one of my sisters. Somebody I talk to every day, somebody I trust, somebody I see myself having a friendship outside years after my career. But man, like, we just have so much fun. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're baddies. And to us, at least to me, baddie means like a powerful person, because it's not, we're not going with women, male or female, just an individual that's just independent and, you know, empowerment and it's not only just about, like, to me, my heel character is I'm going to do whatever I want. And we just want to do whatever we want. And sometimes we do it in a good way. Sometimes we do it in a bad way. Sometimes we want the easy way out. But we just have fun with all of it. So I love doing TikToks with her. We have a ton more coming. We always do a bunch of them while we're at TV. So I'm excited for you guys to see it. And we're not afraid to be goofy. The last freaking one we put was one where I, like, fell over the chair to get to the screen and stuff. We just love letting people see a little glimpse of, like, what the real us is like. I mean, we're the same on TV, we just ump it 10 times more. But man, I absolutely love Kiara. Like, our TikToks is probably one of my favorite things to do when we're not, like, cutting promos or wrestling and stuff like that. We really do have fun with all of this.
And
she dances too. She can keep up with me. She's one of the, apart from Sunny as well, like, she used to dance too, so I think it just comes natural for us to do these TikToks because we enjoy, like, the dancing and the acting of it. So she's a natural. She makes it easy for me too. So,
you know, that's, it's so funny because that's, like, the number one question I see asked everywhere. Like, somebody asked Jade at the last press conference about it. Like, everybody wants to see. They feel like the one missing piece to you guys is Sunny. Literally, I put the question out there, and everybody's like, when is Sunny Kiss going to be a baddie? And it feels like that's what everybody wants to see. So I thought it was funny that you dropped Sunny as well. Because, yeah, that's, I don't know. I have a lot of fun with you guys in the TikToks. It's, like, one of my favorite things.
Yeah, we love to see people smile. We love to see people see a little different side to us, apart from what we're portraying on TV as well, because all in all, we're all human. So we love to do the TikToks. To me, baddie can be anybody, and I believe Sunny is a great add to the group. Of, you know, I'm not the one who makes that choice, but if I had to pick, I would have had Sunny with us since day one, but I don't call the shots. So.
But the latest addition has been Stokely Hathaway, yes, who has been just cracking me up every single week. I mean, just on commentary last week, you said we're taking the TBS championship to the BT Awards. Like, I have just loved having Stokely on TV, and I feel like he's been almost the perfect addition to the group.
Absolutely. He meshes with us perfectly. He is just such a big ball of energy, and everything that comes out of his mouth, like, you can tell he just loves what he does. He is so entertaining. I love him to death. I know that he was not a fan of Stat smacking him in the back of the head. But I have to say, I can't even fault her for it. You know, it was pretty funny. I'll bring him a little bit of ice next time. But it was, he is just so entertaining. So I thought it was great when we got the news that he popped up and we saw that he was going to be with us. I was very happy about it. So I think people are enjoying it, and it's only going to get better from here. So stay tuned.
Stokely, so amazing. I love it. I kind of want to go back to, we're talking about live events. What's been your favorite outside the fan, the crowds back event that you've had so far with AEW?
That's a tough one. I'm a big, big volunteer for just, like, the AEW community projects that we do. So those are always the best ones for me because I'm having fun and I'm actually doing something to help somebody else. And then we've done those with kids. We've done those with fans. Right now I'm going to stick with those because those are the ones that kind of, like, hold a good place in my heart. But I love FanFest as well. FanFest always come in, like, the bigger pay-per-views, the All Outs, the Double or Nothings. Those are always a good chance. Heel or face, I'm always open for the fans. You know, they love you sometimes, they hate you sometimes, but they are the reason why we're also where we're at and how high we are in our career because they pay their money to see us. So FanFest is always interesting. It's always good to see the faces of the people that are giving you such recognition or the ones talking smack because those pop up at FanFest too. So bring them all. I don't care.
Yeah.
They'll never say it though.
Yeah.
They'll just smile in my face. And then I'm just like,
I kind of want to hear a little bit more about AEW's community work. Cause I see that you guys are in some, you know, neighborhoods that really need you guys there. Like, some urban places that, you know, don't usually see stuff like that. What's it been like to be there with, you know, Mark Henry's out there sometime. The captain's out there. Will Hobbs, my homie's out there. Everybody's out there just doing their
shout out, Amanda.
Due diligence. Yes, Amanda.
Amanda too. Amanda's now part of putting in all that together, and she's been doing a great job. But yeah, I've been to a couple of them. I'm almost always at all of them if I can be. Mm-hmm. We've been to some boys and girls clubs. I think those make me the most emotional because it's so good to see the kids and like how happy they are, and just to show them that they can come out of where they're at and be something big and have a regular life. That's the most satisfying part. I can't remember the location because I'm terrible with locations, but there was once that we went to feed the elderly because they were fasting for Ramadan. I don't want to put for that. So they were breaking the fast and we were able to go and give them some meals and stuff like that. That was great. That was a great project. I'm trying to think. We've done a lot of good stuff. Those usually always kind of happen sometimes the Tuesdays before the Wednesday Dynamite. They're trying to make it now where we kind of do everything in every city that we're at. So that's become really good. I had the honor of going to one of the middle schools when we were in Miami in my hometown. So that was one of my favorites too, just having the kids see that I came out of that same area and grew up in that area and where I'm at now. They it made them very hopeful and that they can do anything. So the kids definitely hit the hardest for me, but even when we do other stuff with the fans, we've done like bowling with the fans. We've for Double or Nothing weekend, they had karaoke for the fans. I think even the Heels members that we do now and the groups that we do with them, the Zooms and stuff like that, getting to meet them, that's all the best part. I think that's what makes, that's like the little bow on top of the gift that just gets everything together, you know, being able to wrestle every night and do what you love, but then give back some way to the people that, you know, aren't as fortunate, or just the people that have been giving back to you, like the fans.
So, right.
Definitely one of my favorite parts, the community services, for sure.
Well, one of my favorite things that's gotten to happen this year, because, you know, I have to talk about it.
Of course.
was the fact that, I don't know if people know this. Of course you know this. There was an album that came out. It's called Who We Are. It was an AEW album that was released in February. And it allowed...
Hold it. I got it. You ready? Hold on.
I love this. Whatever's happening right now, this is amazing. Yes. AEW Who We Are,
we're
baby.
Talking about it.
Yes.
Oh, there we are. Who We Are. Yep, a celebration baby. Of excellence. Well, so, you know, Righteous Reg here. He had a couple of songs on there. He did a song for Powerhouse Hobbs. He had a song for Jade Cargill.
Sure did.
But I got to do a song. It's called In the Mix. And it was for a wrestler by the name of, hold on, let me look at the back here, Red Velvet. It's actually the first song on the album. It was myself. It was Cut Right. And it was Josiah Williams. I did the instrumental on there.
Woo.
Yes, he did. And Equipped, by the way, also on there. And just it all came together. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the song itself, because I did this, of course, with your input. I've told the story before that I was assigned Red Velvet by Mikey Ruckus for this track. I got your input on music you were into, and you had noted you were into a lot of reggaeton. You also liked Doja Cat, and I thought, oh, crap. I am completely out of my element here. I have done more traditional hip hop and I am completely out of my element here. But I took it on as a challenge. I thought, okay, I want to do it. I want to do it. There's no way I'm going to turn this around. I could have just come back to you and been like, nah, I don't do none of that. But I thought, no. But I thought this was going to be an interesting challenge and I wanted to do it. And I did. And just with the instrumental, and then when it came back, we all, the three of us all heard it at the same time.
That was the trip to Atlanta. We heard it.
We heard it in Atlanta. Right. But then, and I hadn't heard any feedback yet, Red Velvet. I hadn't heard anything yet. But then I was talking to Kiera in Atlanta, and I let her hear, and she goes, wait, I've heard this before. Wait, no, I heard this in the locker room. Oh, yeah, right, I was playing this in the locker room. And so that was already like my moment of, okay. So I know there's I think she likes it. I'm not sure.
She's but, playing at least.
Right. I'm like, at least she's playing it. But I will say this. The moment I saw you enter to it, you've entered to it twice. And you did in Orlando, and I think the week after, you had two entrances to it. And you knew every lyric. You had it just the whole way down. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the song and just how it came together and what you thought of it when you first heard it.
I was a little scared myself because I felt like I didn't know at first how the project was going to come about. So I didn't really know how to break it down even for myself. So I was like, okay. I asked Sean as well. I was like, hey, do you mind? I'm a very visual person. So I was like, do you mind if like I kind of see what you wrote out for yourself? Because I kind of know what I want to write, but I don't know like the time lapse of how, what is too much for them or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So Sean helped me with that. I kind of read a little of like what he wrote and I was like, all right, cool. I know what points to put. But I was just as nervous because I was like, I don't know how they're going to grab my life and put it into lyrics. As soon as I played the song, like, I think I almost teared up because it was just like, I just got instant like thoughts. I want to do a music video. So if we can get everyone who produced that, I definitely would love to do a music video. Even if like AW doesn't ever post it anywhere, I want to like post it everywhere because all I could think about was like the music.
I'm like
lyrics.
Texting Josiah right now. I'm like, hey,
and he's in Orlando, so he's yeah. So that's something I definitely would love to do because the song just brings me back to like the lyrics of my own life and the beat, how you guys put it together. I just can think of like the past me when I was a dancer, how much choreography I can do to it, and just wanting to have all you guys in the video as well. I absolutely love the song. I play it all the time. I actually grabbed two CDs. I have this one because I'm going to make a whole little memorabilia to keep for myself. But the other ones, it's in my car and I play it all the time. I kind of annoy people. I was like, this song is like, you know. But you guys absolutely killed it. I loved it. And I asked you guys, each of them, for the lyrics because I want.
Oh no,
this is going so smoothly and I was like, I don't have to make any edits. And now I do.
Darn it.
Are we back? Oh, sorry. Yeah, that was
No, it's all good. All right, we're good. Yeah, all right, you were saying
I lost power or something like that. Sure. Where did you guys last hear me?
You were saying you would play it for people in the car and...
Oh, yeah, and they got annoyed with it and stuff like that. But I'm always bragging about it. I love the song. I think only reason probably why we didn't move forward as, like, a set entrance music was because the lyrics, like, they kind of play very low in the arena. I don't think, like, people weren't getting as behind as I wanted them to get behind as much as I loved it, which is, I think, why I also want to do a music video. Because I think once you put lyrics and like pictures and people can see what's actually happening, they'll understand it and appreciate it like I did. But by far, I don't think, I mean, if you guys would have knocked it out even further, I'd be like, I'd lose my mind. But I lost you guys again.
No, I think you're here still.
No. We're here. We got you.
Are we back?
I think so. A little bit.
Frozen? No. Oh, no.
Damn it. Technology. I know. You're ruining our lives. Technology's trying to play us off. It's like, all right, wrap this up, you guys. Come on, dude.
We got internet is like, yo, wrap it up, bro.
Yeah. we're trying to talk here, internet.
Man, well, come on, man. We're trying to cook, bro.
I know. The internet was not. I think we froze, but all in all, I was saying I love the song. So I definitely, we got to get in the works to do a music video, some sort of music video to it, because I like it.
Yeah, honestly, like, just a, I guess, a little bit of inside baseball on some things. We've told the story. I don't think we've told it on Grapsody, but we talked about how Reg had finished an original version of of Jade's song, and then she heard in the mix and requested a completely different song. Which is so great.
Wait, what? Say that again.
Yeah, what happened was I had did the song for Jade's song. We had Jade's song. We knocked the whole thing out. And then we did a podcast with Montese, who was on the Jade song, me and a bunch of us, and Will Washington played the Red Velvet in the mix song. And so I was like, at that moment I knew things. I was like, I don't know. I just knew the song was gonna change for some reason. As soon as we got done with the podcast, Montese's like, the whole song, you throwing it out. Like, Jade wants a whole completely song. She heard Red Velvet song and she wants a different, like, she wants something like more along those lines. And I'm like, what? I don't know what to do. What do you mean? But it ended up working out. So your song inspired the changing of Jade Cargill's song also. So you guys just killed it. Everybody was blown away. Everybody that heard your guys' song was just like, whoa, it's crazy out here. So yeah, great song, everybody. Yeah.
Hey, it got to be the first song on the album. I was so happy with that. Like, that made me so nervous. I don't know how you felt, but I was nervous hearing when I saw the track listing, and I was like, wait, it's the first song? This is the first impression?
She's gone.
Oh.
She's back.
Wait.
She's gone.
She's right.
There we go. She's back. Okay. All right. There we go.
I think when I saw that the song was first on the album, I was kind of excited to hear like the rest of the songs, because I was like, I think my song is badass. So if my song is good and it's the first one, you know, it's kind of like the first match, you set the tone, like that sets the tone for the rest of the show. So I took that as an honor and I was excited about it. I had no doubts that the rest of the album was going to be great, but I mean, mine is my favorite. I mean, there's some really good ones too, but mine is my favorite. Yes. I specifically remember saying I wanted something I could dance to and jam out to. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone I play the song for starts like moving their head and like getting to it. So that's exactly what I wanted. And you guys killed it. So
thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, and speaking of which, because I mentioned some of the songs you had put into wanting to hear, or what you wanted to hear around it. So what are you listening to right now?
You mean generically?
Just in general, yes. What's in the Red Velvet playlist?
Number one is Doja Cat. I mean, Doja Cat is just like, I start my day. If I need to clean, I'm going to listen to some Doja Cat. If I need to do something, Doja Cat is my, I think she's like my alter ego, where I also get my inspiration to be a heel from.
Nice.
Doja Cat is number one on my list. I'm a huge, like, I'm Hispanic, so I love Spanish music. I love bachata, salsa. I love Dominican dembow, which is very, like, you know, you just hear the same beat, like, you know, people are always like, Dominican music just has the same beat, but, like, it just gets me riled up, you know? I'm ready to go when I hear some Dominican dembow. I'm a big country fan, so I'm a little bit of everything. I love to listen to a little bit of everything. I'm a very upbeat person, so I love upbeat music, like hip-hop, rap, R&B. I love R&B love songs. You know, I'm with that whole Usher My Boo and all that. I love all that, so. But top of the list has to be, like, Doja Cat's type music, that type of style, so.
The inspiration for your thing. I like that. That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I totally see it, too. And speaking of which, because you brought up a little bit of your heritage there, and we actually did get a question here from longtime supporter Danny Hernandez. He wrote in, he said, representation is big now in media. How does it feel to be a melding of not only the Afro-Latina and Black experience, and how great must those family gathering music playlists be? So I guess we'll back up on the core of the question, though.
I think representation is great. I'm happy that, it's weird to say, but I'm happy, thanks to my parents, I'm kind of a mutt, you know what I'm saying? I love diversity, and I love that I get to represent for the Black community and also the Hispanic community. So sometimes it's a little bit, people aren't so nice about it, I guess, because I am like Afro-Latina and Hispanic. Mm-hmm. They kind of expect me to be one, and I can't change that, you know. So I like to represent for the Black community and the Hispanic community, because I am a little bit of both. But a lot of, I think me in general is just, if I had to use a word to describe myself and everything in my life since I've been born, it's kind of like versatile. There's nothing really just specific about me. I think I like thrive in a lot of areas, listen to different types of music, like different types of activity. I'm not very like a person who's set on just one thing. I kind of, I'm a Gemini, so I like change and stuff. So definitely happy I can represent both and hope that both sides are proud of what I'm bringing to the table.
That's dope. Super dope. Love it. It's great. You've,
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think everything, your culmination and you getting here from, you know, us watching your journey from beginning to now has been amazing. I think we are excited to see everything you have coming up in the future. You seem pretty dedicated to your craft. You seem pretty involved in what everything has been presented. So kudos to you. We really appreciate seeing your journey. There's a lot of controversy online. People, you know, I guess stay away from the internet because the internet is the worst, honestly.
Definitely.
People want, you know, we're seeing your progression and people want to talk about your progression, but you don't let anything hold you down. Every, you know, you're improving with every single match that comes, you know, comes your way. I think you're doing an amazing job here in this whole thing. And I just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us, because I think there's a lot more to come, honestly.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I appreciate Will being so patient with me, because I know we've been planning this for the longest. Something I haven't really been very open about. And I guess because, you know, Will was so persistent in having this interview, I'll be open about. During that time, I was going through a real crazy life experience change. So I wanted to make sure that when I came on here, I was my full, happy, healthy self. And can come and speak about everything in my career without having something in the back of my mind that was, you know, not allowing me to fully be myself. So I do apologize for how long it took, but I'm happy that it happened now, because I'm in a way better place. So thank you for being patient and consistent with me on that. So that's the only reason why we didn't do it in the past. But timing is everything.
We get to talk about the... We get to talk about the baddies, so we're not mad about it at all, one bit. We think it's perfect timing, honestly.
Yeah, everything worked out. Everything worked out the way it was supposed to. Now, I'm really glad you got to do this with us and join us on Grapsody here, finally. I guess parting word is, I really want you to give us your best, I guess, bet of an answer here, which is, when it's all said and done, we've wrapped up, we've looked back on the career of Red Velvet. Better yet, here's how we're going to do this. When the Red Velvet Hall of Fame induction begins, and you're giving a speech looking back at your biggest accomplishment, what do you hope that ends up having been?
What I hope to be my biggest accomplishment there?
Yes.
I think right now everyone has their sights set on being a champion. To them, the top is being a champion. Yes, I want to be a champion. But in my history, if I do my Hall of Fame speech, when I finally put the boots down, I just want to go down in history as being one of the top workers, one of the best. I don't want to say female because I'd be putting myself in a box, because nowadays we're right along with the men. I want, I'm very big on like making legacies, and everyone expected me to build off of my dad's legacy of being a boxer, and I took a different route and I said, no, I'm going to make a legacy of my own. So I just want continuity. I want to be able to be with the company for a long time. I want to be one of the main pillars for a long time. And like I said, I love kids. So I hope to be around when the new generation of new talent comes into AEW. I don't mean new talent like people from past companies or other companies. I mean like the ones that are growing up now, because that's how I was. I feel like I was still a child when I came into AEW, and I've blossomed into a woman now going into my 30s. So I cannot wait, and I hope to be a concrete part of the women's division to help bring up talent in the future for AEW. That's if my journey continues with AEW. If I'm doing a Hall of Fame speech for anywhere else, I just want to have wrestled for a long time and made a difference for the women, because I know the women that made a difference for me as to why I'm here now. So I just want to bring women's wrestling to a different level by the time I hang the boots up. So I think I've always said I wanted to be the best of the best. Titles come and go. They don't really stamp who you are or what your career was like. Some of the best never held titles. So I don't go by that. I want to build a legacy of, when people say Red Velvet, they say, man, like, I enjoyed getting in the ring with her. Getting in the ring with her took me up to this level. Or, you know, Red Velvet was a trainer at AEW and I got to this. I want to help people like they helped me, because I didn't have, nothing was handed to me. No one said, here's an AEW contract. I went looking. I asked for opportunities. I came in as an extra with nothing. I didn't have no guarantee that I was going to get signed. And I sat there and I worked my ass off for it. So I just want to be able to retire and do the same for other people.
That beautiful is what's up. Love it.
That was Red totally Velvet. Baby face. I should just say I want to take over.
Say something mean, Brad. Not Jade's title, though, the other one.
All of them. Sorry, Jade.
All of them.
I love it. Thank you, Red Velvet, for being a part of Grab City Interviews. And thank you for taking the time, ladies and gentlemen, for watching and listening here on Fightful. Again, Jade Cargill, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys now hung out with one of the baddies. And I'm so grateful you guys had this interview with me and waited, even though it took a while. So thank you for having me. And I hope all of you guys watch. Make sure you watch.
Yes. Actually, we've hung out with two of the baddies here, which means, Kiara, it's time.
Come on, man. We got to get all three.
I know. It's time now. We've had Jade here on the show. We've had Red Velvet. Kiara, come on.
Come on. We need to come with that.
I'll get her your way.
Sweet. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.